Marte. Just like that. 1-0 Diamondbacks. Don't change a thing on that bat. It's the stick'em.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Exit Velocity Baseball Podcast. Tonight, it's myself, Zach, and I'm joined by Jordan. Our fearless leader, Brent, has the night off. I think it's the first night off for him ever. So, yeah. But Jordan, how you doing, man?
Pretty good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's been a while since we've been on. This is a first.
It's our first show without us. We're just us two.
No, man, looking forward to it. It's been a wild week of baseball. I don't know, it's been a wild couple of weeks here. How are we feeling about everything going on with the season so far?
It's been quite the roller coaster, right? As far as games getting played and games getting postponed. Sucks if you roster guys like Cardinals or had the experience of the Marlins, the Reds, but thankfully, I've been quite lucky as of late. How about yourself?
Yeah, it's been like you said, it's been a weird year. I've had my fair share of Marlins, and I'm riding Jack Flaherty, Brent's boy, in multiple leagues, and it's been frustrating a couple of weeks not being able to use him. And now we have it kind of seemed like everything was looking good here, and we were going to have the first game all season, basically, where all 30 teams were playing this weekend, and then the Reds came down with a player testing positive. Not sure if it came out who it was that tested positive, but I don't know. It sounds like it's still possible that they might be able to play their games this week. I know flights were pushed back for their upcoming series here, but it looks like they're playing KC coming up. So it looks like flights were delayed to play Kansas City, but it's possible that maybe they get the games in Tuesday and Wednesday. They're probably going to wait till the last minute. But yeah, I mean, the Reds have a ton of fantasy-relevant players on there, and it's tough because in weekly leagues, like, what are you going to do with these Reds? Are you going to take a chance and start these guys, or do you just go to a backup option there? It's a tough call. So
for sure. It's a lot of hit and miss as far as, like, taking chances, like, even the guys that we're going to talk about in the show here pretty soon, but like Castellanos, like any players in those uniforms are getting affected, even my boy Sonny Gray. So I guess we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, and it's really been messing up how the pitchers are lining up for the coming weeks here. I mean, like I said, the Cardinals, like Flaherty starts have been pushed back. We could see a lot of the Red starters get pushed back. So it's going to be tough. So hopefully just keep an eye on things this week. Hopefully we have some news updates on Monday or Tuesday at the latest. And yeah, just keep an eye on it. But tonight we're going to keep it quick here. We're going to talk about the top 10 players from last week. And we'll get into, Jordan's going to give us some options for two start pitchers for the coming week here. Not gonna lie, they're not the prettiest two start options, but we're gonna throw them out to you anyway, and maybe they can help, maybe they won't.
So they're probably available, and that's why.
Yeah, they probably are. But let's dive into it. I mean, we had some very interesting names as standout performers this week. The first guy that was at the top of the list. Do you guys usually start from 10? You guys usually do 10, right? Work our way down.
We actually go at number one.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, we'll do it the way you guys like to do it. We'll start right at number
or
one.
Or we can go at number 10. We can mix it up. It's our own show.
Yeah, I'm already on number one. So let's start with number one. Number one is Jesse Winker, who had a hell of a week. Had 5 homers during the week. On base percentage, over 700. Slugging, over 1,700. Jesse Winker, he's really known as an on-base machine, and he was kind of living up to that hype this week. He's skyrocketed in Yahoo ownerships. It says over 38% over the last day. I don't believe that, but I mean, right now he's 42% owned. He's definitely been a hot waiver wire ad this week. What are your thoughts on Jesse Winker this week? He's looked pretty good.
For sure. Even without playing the past 2 days too. So he remained fantasy number one over the week and, had sat out the past 2 days. So with that being said, a relatively super hot week for him. Always been a guy that has been able to get on base and has been on the fantasy radar for many people, but I don't think he's ever been ranked 21st in baseball before. So definitely hot streak going on. I am sure if all is well and the Reds will be playing every game this week, he should be added in mostly all formats, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely should be added in most formats at this point here. Also, nice to see him. He sprinkled in a stolen base this week as well, which he's not typically known for.
Sneaky. So
that's great for roto formats. But like we were saying earlier, I mean, I'm hesitant. I have Winker in a few spots. I'm a little hesitant to start him this week. I think it's going to come down to the wire. Hopefully there's some news on Monday, but we'll see. But Winker, yeah. I mean, you got to play him while he's hot, but you run the risk of, in a weekly league, of him not playing at all. So
for sure,
we'll see what happens with Jesse Winker and the rest of the Reds. But number two, not surprising, and he kind of just went off against my Mets this week, and that's Juan Soto, who just looks he's back to form. He came down with COVID earlier in the season, so he got a late start. But he's just looking like the Juan Soto that we were all expecting. Honestly, looking like almost like a top five, possibly even like a top three pick next year if he continues to perform like this. I mean, he just, as a Mets fan, it's going to be tough to watch Juan Soto in this division for many, many years to come here. I mean, he just eats us up. Had a couple of homers against the Mets this week. He had four homers against the Mets this week, six homers total in the week. I mean, the guy just doesn't stop hitting. Like, I don't know how you're supposed to stop this guy.
He's an absolute machine. And this week he's got Atlanta and Miami. Atlanta doesn't have any pitching, so I'm sure he's just going to keep on raking. And that's another good point, too, as you mentioned, him being a top five or even potentially top three pick in future drafts. Who would you rather take, I guess, Juan Soto or Acuna next year?
It's a great question. Honestly, at this point, I mean, the only thing that Acuna has over Soto at this point is the stolen bases. Mm-hmm. Everything else, I'm taking Juan Soto across the board.
For sure.
Better plate discipline. I think he has more power as well. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Soto can sprinkle in a few bags in a full season. I mean, I think he was around like 10 to 15 last year. So I think he could contribute in that department as well, but he's not going to put up 40 bags. I don't know if we're going to see Acuna put up 40 bags again. Mm-hmm. Obviously he's banged up right now, and he got banged up towards the end of last year. So who knows if we see another 40-40 season, but I think Juan Soto is locked in for a top five pick next year. And I probably, at this point, I mean, based on what we've seen from Acuna and staying healthy, I mean, I like Soto more at this point. We still have quite some time to go here, but Juan Soto, definitely an attractive top pick option next year.
For sure.
But he had a great week, batting over 400, six homers, 14 ribbies, and he sprinkled in a stolen base as well. So Juan Soto doing great things at the top of that order. It's actually a very weak lineup now, too.
Without
Rendon in there, there's no more Bryce Harper.
Castro
anymore,
is like
obviously
batting three at times.
Castro is on the IL now, too.
He
hurt his wrist the other day. So it's going to be the Juan Soto and Trey Turner show up there. And we'll talk about Trey Turner a little bit more later, but let's get into the number three guy, and that's actually on the pitching side of things, and that would be Aaron Nola. And he put up great numbers against who else? The Mets. But Nola had a great week. He was a two-star pitcher this week, actually. He had a great performance against the Braves earlier in the week. Went eight strong innings. I think he let up one run, 10 strikeouts, and then he pitched seven shutout innings against the Mets on Saturday. Got two wins in there. I mean, Aaron Nola is looking like the Aaron Nola that we saw early last season, or more 2018.
Yep.
And maybe a little bit earlier in 2019. But Aaron Nola looks like he's made some changes. What are your thoughts on Aaron Nola this past week?
I kind of actually had my reservations going into the season on him. Due to like what he kind of did last year, he struggled last year to begin the season. And then he eventually settled in, and figured things out, obviously. But, like you're bringing up what he's doing right now is much like what he did in 2018. And if he's got it figured out, he was a preseason rank 44 in Yahoo formats. Probably a top 10 solidified pitcher in baseball right now, would you say?
Yeah, I agree. And I agree with you that I was a little hesitant going into drafts this year with Nola. Wasn't sure if we were seeing 2018 Nola or more of the 2019 version. But he looks like he might be back to that 2018 form. And he's pitching in a division that he can really take advantage. I mean, the Mets, obviously, he's dominated the Mets quite a bit over his career. The Braves and the Nationals, I mean, the offense really just, they're not the same. I mean, the Braves with Acuna out and the Nationals losing some star power. And then he gets the Marlins as well. So he could definitely feast upon some of those matchups. And I really like Nola the rest of the way this season.
For sure.
So we'll see how that works out for him. Number four, this is a tough one to talk about. He went on the IL today. He was playing lights out, and that's Bo Bichette. News came out today that he was scratched. Apparently had a knee injury. It wasn't considered anything serious. And then reports are coming out on Sunday night that the injury is actually worse than expected. Could keep him out until mid-September. So, I mean, this is looking like it could possibly be a season-long thing here. So that is very unfortunate because Bo Bichette had himself a hell of a week. Four homers, eight RBIs, contributing two stolen bases as well, batting over .500, getting on base a ton. He had some huge home runs there in the new Blue Jays ballpark over in Buffalo. It's a shame that we're not going to see Bichette. He seems like one of the young budding stars in baseball right now. What were your thoughts on Bichette this past week?
Well, that 5-for-5 game that he had against Miami, I think it was like double-digit scoring on both sides. But he had a homer, three runs scored, and two steals. That's a career day for a guy like him. Definitely sucks to see him battle an injury now, especially with being so hot this past week. And he's, like you said, he's a budding star. I would say all fans really can like him. I don't really think there's a reason why you can't, like, don't like him. I was thinking, actually, we had this discussion with a buddy of mine today, with him and the future, like, future drafts. He could potentially be a first-round pick next year.
Yeah, he's definitely moving up the ranks as well. He steals bases as well, which is huge in Roto. He's already got four, and he looks like he could be just a huge offensive force. I'm not going to lie, I wasn't as high on him when he was coming up in the prospect circles. I kind of thought of him more as maybe like a Kevin Biggio type, somebody that gets on base, but maybe a little bit lower of an average. But, I mean, he's showing pop. He's showing that he can hit for average as well. So he's an all-around player, and that's what you want in fantasy, especially those early round picks. You want guys that are going to contribute in all five categories. That's why you see guys like your boy Nolan Arenado kind of fall maybe to the second, because he's not going to contribute any stolen bases. But Bo Bichette, definitely, I agree with you. You're looking at maybe a first or second round pick next year. Hopefully it's not a serious knee injury that's not going to linger on until next year. So hopefully he figures that out. But yeah, Bo Bichette looking like one of the top players in the league this week.
For sure.
So let's move on to number five, and that is Brandon Lau of the Rays. He had another great week, five homers, 11 RBIs, batting over .400, getting on base over 50% of the time. Brandon Lau, not somebody that I was particularly in. I have no shares of Brandon Lau across the board. But I know a lot of people were hyping him up this preseason. He's getting a lot of consistent time out of the two hole. Do you have any Brandon Lau shares?
Man, this sucks. This is touchy for me.
Oh boy! Let's hear it.
I've got plenty, or I did have plenty of shares of Brandon Lau. Had him last year. Loved him. He got hurt. But this past week, or was it maybe 2 weeks ago now, I made a trade.
Uh-oh.
And it was because Corey Seager got hurt and I needed a shortstop.
Okay.
And I looked at some rankings just as far as, like, what to do, look at options, what's available. And I made a move that I probably never would at any other rate, at any other point in time. But I even looked at like fantasy, all rankings, right? As far as like who would you rather have, this player or this player. And I made a trade and I moved Brandon Lau
Or
for David
suspense is killing
Fletcher.
me.
For
Oh,
David
God.
Fletcher.
I mean,
It
not the
was
worst
because
trade.
he played shortstop
Yeah.
and Corey Seager's always hurt, I feel like. And given that Brandon Lau has first base, second base, and outfield eligibility, which is already an asset right there, still made the deal. And I was just going against the grain. Everyone could have told me otherwise, right? And I still just did it. I do those kind of trades like at least once or twice a year, and that was that one. And immediately after I trade him, this is what he does.
So you have Corey Seager still, correct?
Yeah. And
All
this
right.
past week, after returning from the IL, I think he had two homers and six or seven RBIs.
Yeah, I think he hit a 3-run homer on Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be worse, but Corey Seager hopefully maybe won't be as injury prone the rest of the year, but you never know. But yeah, you have a good backup option of Fletcher, another multi-positional eligibility type guy. Not the worst trade. Just doesn't have the power that Brandon Lau is going to give you, but they're both similar in terms of the average contributions. So,
For sure. And I like
that
the
was it.
steals aspect. That was
Yeah.
like the and the whole fact that Madden likes Fletcher and he bats him at the top of the order. I was like, "Eh." But that's all I need to say about him. I'm still devastated about the trade. So
You also made me and Jordan were in a league together, and you made an interesting trade. I'm curious to get your thoughts on that while we're on the air here. This is a keeper dynasty league, and Jordan traded Vlad Jr. for one of your favorite players, Nolan Arenado. I'm curious to get your thoughts on that deal because it's a very interesting deal, especially in a keeper dynasty format. What kind of made you pull the trigger on that?
I think it was more of a win in the next 2 years type strategy, as far as Vlad not producing to what people have expected thus far in his career, and catching Arenado on a slump as more of like a buy low, and I couldn't really say no. So, the guy actually sent me various different deals for Vlad Jr., and most of them were accompanied by other assets that I didn't really want to part ways with. But when he just did heads up Arenado for Vlad, I was like, I thought for a bit and hesitated. And then I was like, nah, this could put me over the edge for this next year or so. So that's what just made me pull the trigger.
Yeah, I like the trade for you. I do. I mean, Vlad obviously isn't what we've expected so far, but I mean that could come back and hurt you in the long run, but I think you'll still get 5 years of contribution from Arenado, and you made the deal at the perfect time because Arenado went off this week. He had a great
Yeah, the
week.
two
He's starting
homer
to heat
game,
up.
couple, three, four homers over the week, and that was what I was looking for. But to get Arenado at that price tag, I don't really know what other head straight up trade would be that fair, right? As far as in a dynasty league. So either way, I don't mind it. It was good.
Yeah, I thought it worked out for both sides.
For sure.
But on to number six for the past week here, we've got Nick Ahmed, who is only 9% owned. Nick Ahmed does this from time to time. He just goes on a tear, and then you don't hear from him again the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's yeah. I think he's honestly appeared on this top 10 list once or twice with for Brent and I, and it just this is usually what it is, a
Yeah,
once in a year thing to,
it's
so.
the same thing.
Yeah.
But Nick Ahmed, it's actually coming at a good time with the Bo Bichette injury. I mean, if you need
That's
somebody to
true.
replace Bo Bichette, like we said, Ahmed right now in Yahoo leagues is 9% owned. Hit over 440 the past week, on base percentage over 50%. And yeah, only one home run, but nine RBIs, two stolen bases. So it's nice that he's contributing in the stolen base department as well. But yeah, I mean, he's not going to put up Bo Bichette type numbers for you, but he'll have a nice stretch every now and then. And in the next month or two here, if you have Bo Bichette and he's out, this could be a good guy to take over that spot. So someone to keep an eye on. Do you have anything else to add on Ahmed, or do we just kind
Nah,
of
I think
All
that was good. You did
right,
good.
good stuff. All right, number seven for the past week is Mookie Betts. I know me personally, I was a little concerned. I don't like taking somebody that kind of is going to a new situation super early, especially pitchers like Gerrit Cole. I wasn't in on that this year. But Mookie Betts was somebody I was just a little concerned with, just because going to the Dodgers, we see what they do. They put guys in the IL just to kind of get people rest, and they're moving them all throughout the order. And I don't know, it just seemed like kind of a headache. But Mookie Betts is heating up. He had a huge performance against the Padres earlier in the week, 4-for-4 with 3 home runs. I think that was his 6-3 home run game. He's right at the top of the record books for that, which is very impressive. I know Boston fans are not happy to hear about this, but I'm sorry, that's what happens when you guys make a horrible trade. But Mookie Betts just looking like the Mookie Betts of old, MVP version. What did you think of Mookie Betts's week here for the Dodgers?
Just a monster, especially for, like you said, settling in to a new environment, and looks like he's just back to where his Red Sox form, right? He just red hot. To be this good, though, right away, it's impressive, I'd say. And like you said, the Red Sox fans got to be crying, because looking at their record right now and how weak their pitching staff is, that team I was watching tonight was not good. Yeah, so a lot of poor things going on in Boston right now, and Mookie Betts is just shining in Hollywood. So it's nice to see. But going back to, like, guys that get paid, right, and that fat contract that he just received, it's definitely not hurting his playing efforts by any means. So off to a hot start this season, and I'm sure it's going to continue.
Yeah, he looks great, and he's pretty locked in to the top of the order, whether it's batting first or second. He's going to be up there pretty much every time. So he's hitting in one of the best orders at the top of the order, so you love to see it. Looks like he'll be pretty good moving forward. But yeah, the Red Sox, I really feel bad. You know what? I don't feel bad for the Red Sox. They've seen championships over the past 10 years here. So yeah, I don't feel bad in that aspect, but what an odd trade. I mean, I like Verdugo. He's looked pretty good himself, but he's not up to Mookie Betts standards. And then they didn't take Gratterall from your Twins. Mm-hmm. And that's looking like a pretty silly move. So I don't know what they were thinking, man, but
I don't know. But go back to like Mookie Betts and his previous ranks going into the season, and how he kind of fell off, as people would say, this past or in 2019. Where do you see him being drafted, or does he go back to a top five type player?
I mean, I think he's probably back to top five. I mean, I think ADP, he was probably around like 4 or 5. I think once the big three were off the board, it was kind of between him and Bellinger in most leagues. And I think a lot of people just weren't sure going to the new environment, and then possibly maybe not even signing a long-term deal. I don't know, just playing in a contract year has some positive or negative effects on players. So I think a lot of people were concerned about Betts this year, but he's looking great, and I think he's locked up long-term. So I think that's going to be a comfort thing for him moving forward. And yeah, I think he's back to a top five pick next year. And with the way Cunha's performed this year, and Yelich just doesn't look great, I mean, who knows? Obviously, there's still plenty of time, but there's plenty of time for shakeups at the top of the draft order for next year. So we'll see. But he's definitely putting his name back into that conversation. So Mookie Betts having himself a great week. Number 8 on the list is Bryce Harper. Not gonna lie, I'm a little surprised to see his name on this list. But he also he had some juicy matchups this past week. He played the Orioles, where he looked really good. 2-for-4 on multiple occasions, had a couple stolen bases as well. And then he got the Mets. He's not showing, I think maybe we would have expected maybe some more power from Bryce.
Yeah.
Only 2 home runs this past week. But like I said, he threw in some stolen bases, batting over 400, 514 OBP, slugging 742. I mean, he's kind of underrated at this point still. Yeah. Like, people forget about him, but he's still in the conversation of one of the premier players in the league. What are your thoughts on Harper this past week?
I think overall, this past week I thought was relatively solid. The one thing I do like, though, is that Girardi likes to steal, and he is stealing bags once again. So, if he can put up those stolen bases consistently, I feel like he'll be more of a fantasy asset, and especially with his batting average being as high, or I mean, he's just been hot this year. So, him batting .300 and healthy, I think he could be a top 10 pick next year.
Yeah, he's looking great so far. And at the end of the second half last year, he was stealing a lot of bags, and that was under Gabe Kapler. I think a lot of people may have been concerned that Girardi wouldn't keep that up, but it's great to see. I mean, he's already got three bags. He's got a nice little hitting streak going. I mean, he's on a tear right now. And the past few years, the concern with him has really been his batting average. He's just kind of been in the 250 range, if not lower. I mean, he just hasn't looked great at the plate. But right now, batting 346, I mean, it'd be nice if he can stay around 300 in a 60-game season. And yeah, I think that would boost his stock tremendously for next year. And like we said earlier, I think it was for Juan Soto. I mean, Bryce Harper has some nice matchups in the NL East. He gets Boston next week, which is obviously a team that really has no starting pitching right now. Their best starting pitcher, Eovaldi, just got lit up. So, yeah, could be some nice juicy matchups in the future. And speaking of juicy matchups, we were talking about Mookie Betts before. Mookie Betts has four games this coming week against Seattle. So those are juicy matchups as well. So get your Mookie Betts shares in your starting lineup. I don't know why they wouldn't be, but just to confirm.
Just to reconfirm.
Exactly. So next up, my computer is crapping out on me. So do you have number nine up by any
Shane
chance?
Bieber.
Oh boy.
My
Let me
boy.
hear let me hear some Bieber fever. Go ahead.
So let's just talk about how he currently is the best pitcher in baseball.
He really is.
He's currently ranked number two in Yahoo formats overall as Mike, I think that's yep. Oh, number two overall. So he's got four wins on the season, a 1.3 ERA, 0.7 WHIP in 34 innings, accompanied by 54 Ks. So he has 54 Ks in 34 innings. And I don't know if anybody else knows this, but he pitches in the AL Central. So he's got Pittsburgh this week at Pitt. And given he just came off a beautiful two-start week against the White Sox, pitching 6 innings and 8 Ks. And then he was at Comerica against the Tigers with 7 Ks, or sorry, 7 innings and 11 Ks. So he's a quality start machine. And there's a lot of buzz that he was overrated going into the season. And this is validation that he is not. He is elite. And he may or may not be the best pitcher in baseball. What do you think?
He's definitely the best pitcher in baseball right now. He just looks lights out. His strikeout percentage over 42% batters. He's walking less than 5% batters. He just has impeccable control, and he never really was that strikeout pitcher, but he's taken strides in that area this year. He just looks lights out on the mound. He's just overmatching everybody. He's got five starts right now. He's thrown double-digit strikeouts in three of those five starts. Like you said, quality starts in each outing. I mean, he's on another level right now. And the Cleveland Indians, they just know what they're doing with their starting pitching. We saw Savali look good in his first few outings. Zach Plesac looked good in his first few outings. Clevinger has looked good as well. Clevinger's looked okay. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with Clevinger and Plesac, but the Indians just know what they're doing in grooming starting pitching.
Aces.
We've seen Kluber before. Trevor Bauer had a good year with the Indians as well. And like you said, I think Bieber is the ace of this staff, and he's probably the top starting pitcher in baseball right now. And I think this is just going to continue. Like you said, he's got juicy matchups the whole year. Like, he's just going to take advantage of it. So.
For sure. I'd love to see it just because I have a couple shares. So.
Yeah, no, he looks great so far. And then to round out the top 10, we have Trey Turner, who, very oddly enough, he doesn't have a stolen base at all this season. I just
I thought
don't
you were
know.
just oddly enough that he's still healthy.
Yeah. It's so weird. He had a great week. I mean, I think everybody just feasts off the Mets here. He looked great, batting over 400 the past week, showing some power as well. Three homers, six RBIs, good on-base percentage as well. But yeah, it's Turner and Soto in that lineup, and they're both performing very well right now. He had very good matchups with the Mets and the Orioles as well. So they were able to take advantage of that. But, I mean, so many people put stock in Trey Turner early this year to kind of just take care of the stolen bases for their teams. And he has no stolen bases. That's like just – that's mind-boggling to me.
Yeah. Are you a – do you happen to be a Trey Turner guy?
I have him in one league. And like I said, I was kind of hoping he was just going to take care of the stolen bases for the most part. And he hasn't done the thing yet. So yeah. I'm at the bottom of the standings in that league.
I just think every time, I guess I never see him on draft boards, but he's something that I never really target. I don't know. Just never been a Trey Turner guy. But he's always hurt. That's just the thing for me. Like, he's always banged up.
He's always hurt. A lot of it is freak injuries, like sliding or poor bunting mechanics. But he, I mean, there were so many conversations preseason here where he was going ahead of Mike Trout because of the questions if Trout was going to opt out or not. So, I mean, that's looking pretty silly right now because Trout is doing Mike Trout things. He looks fantastic as well. But, yeah, I mean, Trey Turner had himself a great week. It would be nice if he can start running a little bit more. But I'm sure that's going to come. I mean, we're still early in the season here. We're still waiting for the Nats to kind of heat up. And, yeah, I'm sure we'll see some Trey Turner stolen bases. So be patient. One guy that I want to point out, he comes in at number 11 here. You can give me somebody maybe that kind of stands out, that kind of just missed the top 10. But the guy for me is Dom Smith of the Mets. He homered in four straight games this week, batting over 350, getting on base over 41% of the time. Dom Smith, he's become, he's kind of what everybody thought Cespedes was going to be, that DH spot. He's hitting for power, and he's getting pretty much full-time playing time now, whether it be in left field or DH, or even on Sunday, we saw Dom Smith get some first base reps, giving Pete Alonso a rest. I mean, Pete Alonso looks lost out there. I mean, I don't think anybody would have expected Dom Smith to be the first baseman to own for the New York Mets this year. I don't think anybody saw that coming.
Yeah, not me.
Yeah. Did you I know Dom Smith has been a popular waiver ad. He's up to 37% owned, 34% added in the past week here. Have you picked up Dom Smith in any leagues at all?
I have not yet, but I know that he's going to be picked up in our GB league tonight. I'm sure they're going to spend a fat load of fab on him. I'm not sure if I'm going to be that guy, though.
Yeah, it could be worth it.
I mean, I could, but I just don't think I'm probably going to be able to put out a bet that's juicy enough because I'm sure someone's going to overpay.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody definitely will. But yeah, he's getting the reps over there. So definitely a name to watch if you're looking for first base or outfield help. Obviously, gives you the corner infield flexibility as well. So definitely a name to watch.
Well, here's my take quick before, just because I have a scenario on my team. Carlos Santana has been absolutely trash for me, like hot, steamy trash. Do I pick up Dom Smith and drop Carlos Santana?
Is it an OBP league?
Yes.
Okay. If it's an OBP league, I'm still going to hold on to Carlos Santana because as bad as he's been, he's still leading the league in walks. He's leading the league in walks right now, and it's still early. I think he probably will figure things out at the plate, but in an OBP format, I can't do it. It's funny that you say that, though, because somebody dropped Santana in the league that we're in, actually, which is an OBP league. And I didn't even waste the waiver claim on him, but I picked him up and he's getting some starts for me because he's going to boost that OBP.
Yeah.
As bad as the average might be.
I just got to be patient with him, but I'm just slowly running out of patience week by week.
And it's tough to have patience in a 60 game season.
I know. We're already halfway through the season. Well, in fantasy. So if we're playing in the one league I'm in, the playoffs start after week 7. So we just finished week 3 going into week 4. So we're halfway there now.
Almost there. Pretty crazy. Yep. Is there anybody else that kind of stands out to you that kind of just missed the top 10?
As far as I was going to go the pitcher route and just chat about Freddy Peralta finishing relatively high on the list, even though he'd never made a start and just made two relief appearances. Similar to a guy that was in the bullpen with him, that's Corbin Burns. I don't know what the Brewers are doing right now as far as their rotation goes. I know that Corbin Burns is now going to start this upcoming Tuesday, and I'll chat about that a bit later. But a guy like Freddy Peralta that comes in and just, I think in 3 innings, he had 8 Ks. Like, I love that K9, and he's not throwing gas. He's like, what, 91, 92 on the gun? Nasty stuff, though. The movement's wicked, and that's why he's got the Ks. But somebody like that, they can just plug in an RP spot because saves aren't guaranteed by anybody right now. I mean, Rafael Montero had three last week, but who would have guessed that? But going over guys like that potentially could get starts in the future, but can make an impact in the RP role. Just wanted to mention Freddy Peralta because I think he can be a nice piece and should probably be in the rotation again soon. So.
Yeah, no, it's a great call. It's funny you say that because I've actually been eyeing Freddy Peralta in a league of mine, a points league, for that very reason. Just kind of like the bulk reliever type role that you could slot into your RP slot. It'll be interesting to see what they do. Like you said, Corbin Burns is going back to the rotation. Freddy Peralta was in the rotation and he was struggling. He seems to really be excelling in this reliever role. I kind of hope that they leave him there for the time being. But I don't know. They're having some injury and just poor performance issues in that rotation. So he might go back to starting at some point. But Peralta, definitely a name to watch. Great call there. I thought you were going to say another name. I'll just mention him real quick. Clint Frazier. He's looked great this past week. And obviously getting the full-time playing time now that
Everybody's
Judge and
hurt.
Stanton, yeah. I just don't understand it. Every year, it almost feels like the Yankees training staff is secretly the old Mets training staff, and this just happened to them all the time. Just all the big name guys getting hurt. Like it's just I don't get it. Obviously, Judge and Stanton are freaks, athletic freaks, just being really tall, athletic, muscular guys. I mean, they need to know how to handle these types of bodies. Just the soft tissue injuries, it's just a constant thing year after year. It's so frustrating.
It's never ending.
It really is.
And that's why
But
I never grab them, never have my hands on
yeah.
any sh a judge or Stanton shares.
Stanton, yeah. A lot of people are getting sucked back in this year, especially the first couple of weeks when Judge was leading the league in homers. And yeah, now he's going to miss 2 weeks minimum probably, and who knows. But yeah, just a mess of a situation. But good to see Clint Frazier. I mean, they've just been messing with him for a couple of years now. It's good to see him hopefully get some full-time playing time and take advantage of it. So those are the top guys for the past week here. A few other guys that we threw in there that we've really been big fans of the past week. We're gonna just touch upon a few two-start guys for the upcoming week. Jordan, I'll let you kind of take it away here. Who
You don't want your
stands
name on
out?
these guys. You don't want your name on these guys. That's why. It's okay.
I mean, none
One
of these
guy
are
else.
sexy names, but let's
I
hear it.
know. But no, okay, so I'm gonna add one more to the list that's a bit spicier, and that is Dylan Cease. Because he's got Tuesday Detroit, and then on Sunday he's got the difficult matchup, but I would say it's not too bad, and that's against the Cubs in Wrigley. So that's one. Jordan Lyles, a guy I've never rostered in my fantasy baseball career. He's got San Diego on Tuesday, I believe, and then he's at Seattle over the weekend. Griffin Canning, a guy that I was very high on going into the season, been a disappointment as of late. Give up three dingers in the last outing, but I'm hopeful that he can put something good to use in against the Giants on Tuesday. And then he's at Oakland over the weekend, and that's the matchup that I probably might not start the guy in, depending upon where my innings are at and what I need for to cap off my week. But that's one. Anibal Sanchez. He's at Atlanta and at Miami. I don't know. I feel like that's probably the more safe one. And Corbin Burns. He's been in the pen for a couple weeks now. And he gets the luxury of facing the Twins on Tuesday at Target Field. That's the start that I'm more cautious of. But again, he could go 4 or 5 innings and get 9 Ks. So that's the one piece I do like. And on Tuesday or on over the weekend, he's got the juicy matchup against the Pirates. That's probably why I'm going to plug him in for the week. So those are the starter two streamers for the week. And I think their percentage owned in Yahoo formats is 35 or less. So that's kind of what I went that route. What are your thoughts?
Not the best of names there. But yeah, I mean, just it's really been hard to predict the two-star pitchers just with everything going on in baseball the past few weeks. But yeah, I mean, these are probably the best of the options for this week in terms of the low ownership. Anibal Sanchez, I mean, like you said, he's got the Miami matchup, but Miami's actually kind of playing well right now. I think it's
Aguilar is actually like good right now.
Yeah, I think that's actually kind of I think that's a matchup that you might get suckered into thinking it's going to be a good one, and then it might blow up in your face. So I'm probably avoiding Anibal Sanchez this week. The one that intrigues me is Jordan Lyles. I actually have him in one of our leagues, just kind of a late round dart throw. And I think, I mean, Seattle obviously struggling. San Diego, they've played well at times, but their bullpen has just been blowing games. So, I mean, it's possible that he can get ahead of San Diego and might be able to pull out a win or a quality start out of that. But, yeah, the one that really intrigues me, Corbin Burns. Obviously, Minnesota's a tough matchup, but he gets Pittsburgh hopefully at the end of the week. But Corbin Burns, we know what kind of stuff he brings to the table, but he just always seems to be having control issues. Yeah.
He's a wild boy. Can't figure it out.
Yeah, I really don't feel comfortable starting him against Minnesota this week. I think you guys really could I mean, he could strike out 10 guys in like 5 innings, or he could walk 6 batters and just give up a ton of runs. So,
yeah.
I would be cautious with these guys moving forward, but I don't know if we had him on the show, I think it was like last month, SP Streamer. I don't know if you've been following his work. He's been doing a great job with his streamers. Mm-hmm. I've been keeping an eye on some of those. So if you guys need a streamer pick, he's been rolling out a great chart daily, keeping it updated. He's doing great work with that. So keep an eye on that if you need some streaming advice. But other than that, that kind of wraps up the episode here. Anything else you want to throw out there? Any comments or anything, Jordan?
I think that should be all. I think that's what our duty was tonight, was to do the podcast and cover the bases. And I think we did just that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it went well. And yeah, just keep an eye this week, obviously, on the red situation. Definitely something to keep an eye on, especially weekly leagues that really could make or break your week. So keep an eye on that. And hopefully no more cases of COVID come out, and hopefully we can just kind of keep getting closer and closer to all 30 teams playing every day, some doubleheaders. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a wild ride to the finish here. So yeah, thanks for joining us tonight. You can follow me on Twitter at BraffZ. You can follow Jordan. Jordan, what's your handle again?
At @exitvelo_JR.
All right, there we go. And yeah, feel free to give us a follow on Twitter, Instagram, Exit Velocity PC. And thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you guys soon.